Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just feel like I've been around the block, ripping up fantasy stock, working around the clock. Look at the view from the top. Researching rookies a lot? No, I just be listening to pods. Yeah, one in particular, I'm just a messenger. Let me just pass on the rock. Browning, Brunning, Bruning, pronouncing ain't what he's doing. What he's doing is not losing, but infusing you with new things. And there's Dennis the Bennett. Yeah. The man is a menace, yeah. Building a dynasty, some of the finest things. Promise you, you won't regret it. Sly as a fox, cultured in pop. Give him his props. Here is a thought, here is a box. And you cannot compare them at all, so don't even try. Careful with the news, but when you use a take, I take up Tony Fire, I mean Dyer, because anyone else is a huge mistake. Whoa. Fantasy round table, fantasy, fantasy round table. Yeah. Fantasy round table, come take a look at the crown, baby. Hey. Fantasy round table, fantasy, fantasy round table. Whoa. Fantasy round table, come take a look at the crown, baby. Go.
What is going on, everybody, and good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Roundtable Podcast, brought to you guys by the Pigskin Podcast Network. You can find them at PigskinPodNet on Twitter, or you can search the hashtag TPPN as we and many of the other podcasts go live. It is July 4th. Do we call this Independence Day, or do we say Happy July 4th? I'm very curious, because
I think it's both.
See, I've been corrected many times on that, so I was just curious. Everybody I work with as of recently, when I was talking to customers or whatever, and be like, hey, you know, have a happy July 4th weekend. Like, yeah, happy 4th. And so I'm just like, okay, cool. I feel like that's the new lingo now. And then I was corrected many times. Like, no, it's Independence Day. So, okay.
I mean, it is Independence Day. It is, but if yes. You're wishing somebody to have a happy 4th of July weekend, you know, it's appropriate as well.
Okay, just checking. I wasn't sure. But anyways, it is July 4th, so, you know, just trying to get that out of the way. Happy Independence Day for anyone who wants, you know, happy Independence Day. You guys excited? Matt, I know we just rushed you in preparing all of this stuff as we were getting ready for this show. Like, you guys excited? Dennis was already at a parade. I was sleeping in. I had a big thing last night. Like, everybody excited for the 4th?
I think I'm going to try to avoid my wife's honey-do list most of the day, even if that means I have to trick her by saying, hey, let's go jump in the pool, because she loves to go float around in the pool. I feel about the pool much like I felt about the boat. You know, not my gig. Has a lot of maintenance stuff I don't really care to deal with, but I don't mind hopping in now and again.
I feel like you've got a new way to avoid that now with your guys' love of Stranger Things. She's like, hey, babe, why don't we just sit down? Let's watch some Stranger Things. And well, that'll knock out a full day quickly, I promise.
It was her idea, and at 3 or 4 episodes in, she's like, I don't know. And Cole, it was her and Cole, and they invited me, and I'm like, all right, cool. And Cole is like, oh, that's kind of scary. I'm like, well,
it's got some moments in the first season. Like, my kids will not watch it now. I don't feel like it's as scary now. And Matt, I know you're as far in as I am. So I feel like the horror part has kind of gone away for the most part. The first seasons, it's got a little bit of that. But, I mean, you got to give it some time. I was very much the same way. The first time I watched it, I think I saw like 2, maybe 3 episodes. Like, yeah, this just ain't for me. And then I came back not even a month ago, and I've gone through 4 whole seasons. Like, you give it time, The characters will grow on you. It gets really interesting really quick.
Yeah, I'm still at the point. I'm like, I don't know what the objective is. You know, we're looking for the buyer's kid. Okay, I get that. We've met Elle. Okay, she's got like Stephen King superpowers of some sort.
She's a Jedi.
Yeah, something.
So the whole first season is pretty much about finding Will. There's just, you get some interesting little things thrown in your way in between all that. So,
I mean, Winona Ryder seems to make choices in men like my ex-wife. So, I don't know. I mean, after me.
I should say that changes. She gets better. Matt, what about you? What are your plans for today?
Well, like you, we finished Stranger Things. So I was saying, because I'm old and I'm on a schedule, my body woke me up at 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m., despite the fact that they were setting off mortars in our neighborhood into the wee hours. You know, it was like going to sleep in a shelling zone because we're right next to Fort Carson, which is a giant army base. A lot of Fort Carson people live in this neighborhood.
So they have access to the good fireworks.
Well, yeah, and technically you can drive over the border into Wyoming, and there, I've seen them when we came through there, and there's giant shacks, but I'm sure they got some shipments up from Mexico. Every year, I don't really have to go to a fireworks show. I just need to go sit on my deck. Like in 2020, when nobody could leave a house, it was the most entertainment I ever had. It looked like if you've ever seen one of those war movies where you just have like the smoke rising through the trees after the combat shelling, that's what it looks like on 4th of July. You hear them before you see where they are. You hear the whiz, you know, as they're firing the mortars into the air. I invited some friends last year, but obviously we're kind of recovering from COVID. So I have, you know, I made a very patriotic huevos rancheros breakfast casserole this morning after I did the yard. And then tonight I'm going to barbecue some hot dogs. I will first watch national champion, American patriot, great historic American Joey Chestnut as soon as we finish here. And then later I'll make my own hot dogs. I will not be eating 97 or however many he can put down. But my big annual tradition every year has been probably since I was a teen is to watch the greatest 4th of July film of all time, Steven Spielberg's Jaws.
Oh, I like it. It's not where I thought you were going to go. So I like it. Yeah, Jaws
takes place on the 4th of July.
It does. It does. Yes. It is a classic movie. I love it. All right, so we are here today to talk about the NFC West continuing our team preview series. Today we're going to talk about the Rams and the Cardinals, but before we get to that, and I'm going to be honest, this is news to me, so I'm going to throw this to Matt because I'm assuming he saw this somewhere. I did not. I was practically out of commission.
It was Dennis.
Oh, Dennis, okay. I was out of commission most of yesterday, so I did not see this. There are now apparently rumors and rumblings about Baker Mayfield heading to Tampa. Dennis, what is it that you saw?
You know, Jared Gray from Toilets to Titles, and he's done some other work. He's done some work with ESPN and Fox Sports. And I feel like I heard this like a month or two ago, something about, you know, there may be interest in Baker to Tampa. And just today, Jared tweeted out that, you know, he's heard some rumblings about it, you know, Baker going to Tampa, restructuring his deal, taking over for Tom when he leaves. Honestly, it's not that implausible of a scenario, and it might be like it's of the situations for Baker, it's probably the best one. It's certainly the best team, has the best overall set of weapons. You know, we'll have to see how the new head coach in there sort of settles in with Arians gone. But, you know, Tampa has a pretty good team, and, you know, they worked some cap magic. I feel like they could, you know, restructure things and get Baker in there. And, I mean, he's certainly better than Blaine Gabbert and whoever the hell else they have backing up Tom Brady.
Trask, I believe.
Kyle Trask, that's the name I couldn't remember. So is it plausible? It is. Is it probable? I don't know about probable, but if I'm Baker and I got the choice between sitting behind Tom for a year or two in Tampa or going to the dumpster fire that's Carolina, or going to, you know, and I get competitiveness. Maybe he's probably the best quarterback on Seattle if he goes there. But, you know, Pete's old and stuff, and so I don't know. I'd probably take the Tampa option myself if I'm him.
Yeah, I think we were all kind of interested in Baker potentially. So if Baker goes there for fantasy for 2022, not only is he irrelevant, other than, I mean, Tom Brady would have had one season in his entire career where he got wiped out with injury in 2008. It's not beyond the realm of possibility, but it's pretty unlikely. I would think he's irrelevant. And then it becomes a big question of the devil's triangle in a couple places of Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, and Drew Lock. Do you believe in any of them? And a lot of us play super flex leagues, which, you know, usually in a super flex league, if you're a starting quarterback, there's a chance they're going to need you at some point in time down the stretch. You have all those guys. It also has huge fantasy ramifications for Metcalf, Lockett, Fant, DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey. I think a couple of those fan bases are waiting. It would be a smart thing for Tampa Bay, because I think Tampa Bay went from being a potential NFC favorite to, when we thought Tom Brady wasn't going to be there and we didn't know who the quarterback was, there were a lot of questions. I don't know if it's a lock that Baker takes over. I think they do kind of like Kyle Trask, and you could see those guys continuing. I bet they would hold both of them and have some kind of competition. It probably gives you a sign that Tom's maybe in for one more year. They don't think he's going to do anything beyond that. The question is, does Tampa Bay actually make a trade for that? Do they put up, you know, if other teams start to get in a bidding war, this is the dream come true for the Browns, who were, you know, on the fence about whether they had to release him. If you start getting multiple teams with interest, the Browns could actually get something back for Baker, which might be the biggest winner in this entire thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see what they would give up for him, because I don't think they'd be able to get him in free agency. It feels like Seattle and Carolina, I don't want to say really want him, but it seems like they are making a push. I feel like if the Buccaneers are not willing to give up anything to get Baker, the Browns will just trade him to either one of those teams. And then it'll just come down to, you know, what happens with his contract. We've heard rumors that Seattle might be willing to extend him. Haven't really heard anything out of Carolina. So maybe at best he gets that, what's the franchise tag if he goes out there and plays really good this year. I mean, I'd love it. There were rumors very early on that Tampa Bay was interested when Arians was there. And because I remember talking about, like, that'd be the perfect spot for him. He goes in there, learns if Brady comes back, because at that point in time, we weren't sure if Brady was coming back. And it's like, if Brady comes back, gets to learn for a year. Otherwise, I think he beats those guys out. I don't think Trask or any of those guys have a shot. I don't remember the exact quote, but I remember reading some stuff about that coaching staff not really loving Trask at all. So I don't think that, and I understand that. I think he was a little bit inflated by his numbers and the system that he ran in college. He does not have the strongest arm. I would say it's actually below average for most quarterbacks. So it would be an intriguing fit. I agree with Matt. It would be a pretty big fallout, I think, in the fantasy communities. It feels like a lot of people are expecting him to go to Seattle or Carolina. And so if you have DK and Lockett, you're crossing your fingers probably that you get Baker over Drew Lock or Geno. And then if you're in Carolina, you're crossing your fingers that you're not about to get one more year of Sam Darnold. And that may all go away if he ends up going to Tampa Bay. Personally, as a big Baker fan, I would love that. Though I didn't really love what Todd Bowles did in New York, I feel like that definitely has the best weapons. Probably he's shown, at least over the past couple years, it's been a more stable organization than the Panthers or Seattle when it comes to just kind of winning and offense. So I'd be curious to see where he eventually goes. And I hope we get that answer soon, because I feel like we've been talking about this for a very long time.
Now, from a dynasty perspective or a fantasy perspective, I don't think it greatly improves his stock. I still think he's in that QB 16 area, is kind of like QB 16 to 20. You know, earlier career Derek Carr, kind of earlier career Kirk Cousins. Does that mean he's got the possibility he can climb from there? Sure, but I still feel like he's a middling QB too, which is good for Superflex.
Yeah, I've given up the dream on him ever being a QB1 at this point. I held strong for as long as I could, but at this point, I think it's time to face facts. So I agree with you there. All right, so let's talk about the Los Angeles Rams. Last year, obviously, won the Super Bowl, finished with a 12-5 record. Their key departures, Robert Woods goes to the Titans, Von Miller on his way to the Bills, Sony Michel to Miami, and Odell Beckham Jr. after the injury is still sitting out there as a free agent. Rumors are that it's likely going to be the Rams or the Packers. So Rams still seem to be in on Odell Beckham Jr., even though they brought in Allen Robinson Jr., and Bobby Wagner, and they drafted Kyren Williams as kind of their key running back add in the draft. Matt, Cam Akers is on track to start the season. What do we expect from him? Obviously, we saw him come back much earlier than many of us expected after that blown Achilles tear. Looked good in one game, then kind of struggled after that. There's some have him as a top 10 back. Some don't even have him as a top 20 running back. Where do you fall, and what do you think about Cam Akers?
Yeah, I think if Akers stays healthy all season, he ends up in the RB2 range. I'm not super bullish that he ends up as an RB1 because, A, I don't think the Rams' run scheme is incredibly run-heavy, and I think with the receivers that they have and the fact that they like to go down the field, they're not dumping it off to backs all the time. And also, I think they are still going to use Darrell Henderson. I think there's a chance they give some carries to Kyren Williams or somebody else. We've seen the Rams throughout the time. Cam Akers does not strike me as Todd Gurley. And I think it was only one or the first half of the second year under McVay where Todd Gurley was kind of the bell cow, and that was a different kind of back that they brought in. I think they like to use different guys. They like to use committee. And we saw a couple of times that Cam Akers actually was a liability to them in the playoffs, struggled with some ball security and some issues like that. So I think he's going to have a good season, but people think he's going to explode. I think he has the potential that we think J.K. Dobbins has if he was healthy and had a full run. I don't think Akers is that same kind of running back, and it's not the same system.
Yeah, I don't think I ever bought into Akers in competition with Dobbins. I had Dobbins as my RB1 in that class. And going into the draft, I had Akers at 4, Edwards-Helaire at 5. After the draft, those two basically switched. They moved Edwards-Helaire up to 4 and had Akers at 5. I like Akers is a good athlete, at least prior to the Achilles tear, he was a good athlete. His issue has always been his vision isn't very good. And I think that sort of gives Darrell Henderson an opportunity to make plays, because when they need a big play, I think sometimes they go to Henderson because he has good vision. I just don't think Henderson has what it takes to hammer it in there between the tackles very frequently. But Henderson, he's going at RB 46 and Cam Akers at RB 19. I feel like that's good value for Akers. He's, low end RB 2. I think I'm okay with that there. In Dynasty, he's RB14. I still feel like he's a low-end RB2 in Dynasty, so I don't think I'd pay running back 14 prices for him. Henderson at RB46, I feel like he could be an RB3, so I feel like that's a little bit undervalued on him. He's RB50 in Dynasty. I could see Henderson having a stretch of a few years sort of as a James White kind of back, producing because of pass catching, getting 125 carries and catching 60 or 70 passes. But as far as Akers goes, I like the value at RB19. ADP of 51.7. So that's early fifth round. I'd probably be waiting. I'd probably like him more at the end of the fifth than at the beginning of the fifth.
Yeah, I really don't know what to think about Akers, because I do expect he'll be a little bit better than what we saw in the playoffs. Again, he was coming off that Achilles injury and fairly early. We've talked about it on here, I feel like, at length with other players you've had it happen to. You're like, we've only really seen Donta Foreman come back from it, and it took him a couple years. It wasn't a quick bounce back. I'm almost positive he bounced around on a couple different teams as well before finally landing with the Titans last year. And that Derrick Henry getting injured and him kind of having that back end of the season is kind of what vaulted him back up. You know, they've got multiple players there in Darrell Henderson, Calais Raymond, Jake Funk is still there. You know, I was more excited about the drafting of Kyren Williams until apparently he injured his foot and had surgery. So I don't know what that means for him now moving forward. I still value him as a RB2 because I think he's got the talent. I mean, he was a really good receiving back in college as well. As Dennis mentioned, you know, maybe that's where his value is going to come from. He had like 16, 30, and 20, I think, something close to that, receptions a year in college. Like, he was very good at catching the ball out of Florida State, especially when they had a really bad offensive line. What Matt mentioned earlier is very true, though, as well. Like, they just seem to mix these running backs since Todd Gurley left. They don't really seem to rely on one guy. And the other thing with this offense is they've got Stafford and all these receivers and Sean McVay, who just seems to love to pass the ball. I think that just limits. They talk about ultimately, oh, yeah, well, we're going to run it a little bit more. And then we see him run it, and it's like three times in a row. And then they pass it 10 times, and they go back and run it like two more. Like, they just don't seem to want to run the ball a ton, and they don't have to. They are very successful in passing the ball. They've got Stafford now, and they were passing a lot even with Jared Goff. I don't think he's going to be that good. I do think he's got some receiving upside, so I kind of agree with Dennis there. I mean, RB19, that's not a bad value there for Cam Akers. I have him at like RB21, so you're paying up just a little bit. But if it's a guy that you believe in can get better than that or produce better than that RB19 value, I'm fine taking him there. I would kind of grab a Henderson at RB46. I just feel like he's going to fill in more often than some of us are expecting, and that could end up helping you out, especially if they end up splitting the roles. Matt, what do we expect from Stafford, Kupp, and Robinson? We saw last year it was really just Cooper Kupp. Well, Robert Woods had his games here and there and then ended up getting injured. When Odell Beckham came over, he was actually fairly good for fantasy. Now we get Allen Robinson there. They're all having breakfast together from all the rumors. He gets the whole season, off season, to learn this Rams offense. Do you expect both of these guys to be fantasy viable in 2022?
Yeah, I think we've waited, this is going to be the ninth year of his career. We've waited 8 years for Allen Robinson to be paired with a quarterback in a good offense. And we've seen at times he's been able to thrive and to give us flashes of that, even when the offense hasn't been great. That 2020 season in Chicago with Mitch Trubisky, he looked pretty good. This is by far the best passing offense he's been a part of. I think Cooper Kupp's fine. Cooper Kupp's going to be probably a top five receiver again, if not wide receiver one or two, something up there. But I think Allen Robinson finishes as a high-end wide receiver too. And I think those two really carry it. And we've seen what Tyler Higbee is. He's kind of a high-end tight end too. He's going to have some great games. He's going to have some games where you forget he was on the team. We talked about it before. Van Jefferson will probably have some good games where he competes and offers a few things. You know, I don't know if he's a reliable week-to-week start, maybe a more of a deep league flex option. And I'm still going to be curious if they bring back OBJ, because I think if you combine Robert Woods and OBJ last year, if you combine them, and really they never played together, as soon as Odell got there, Robert Woods got injured. I think if you combine them, you'd be something close to wide receiver two over the season. OBJ really caught fire down the stretch there. I think Allen Robinson is better than that, and he's ready to thrive, and that will keep defenses honest too. One of the things we saw even in the Super Bowl is they were gravitating everything over to Cooper Kupp because there were no other options. I think this will diversify the Rams. You're muted,
Dennis.
The combination of Woods and Beckham, they combined for 93 targets. I feel like, you know, we're discounting Van Jefferson, and, you know, he had, 89 targets last year. I do think that if OBJ comes back, that pushes Van Jefferson, but Cooper Kupp is the unquestioned top dog there. And I think Allen Robinson will clearly be the two, even if they sign OBJ. I feel like OBJ is kind of turning into DeSean Jackson. He's going to get you some big plays. He's going to have some games where I don't think he's the consistent factor that he used to be. He's what, 29 years old now? See, Van Jefferson's ADP is 170 for Dynasty. Let me get over here on my screen. 183 for Superflex Redraft. He's going off his ADP 75. I mean, Beckham is going at ADP at wide receiver 74. At his Superflex ADP is 186.3. That's a little bit screwy. Let me find my actual single sheet here. Where was Beckham? That's interesting. Must see, must hear. See, Beckham is going off at wide receiver 70 and Van Jefferson wide receiver 69. So, you know, they're going close to each other. I think that's a big gamble. To me, the gamble is on Beckham because if he gets signed, I don't think he takes everything that Jefferson is doing away. And I feel like, you know, he's not going to be ready at the beginning of the season. So I feel like OBJ is a gamble. I'm out on OBJ. I think it, you know, Cooper Kupp is still going off the board at wide receiver one, who I think is what this question was originally about. And Allen Robinson going off at Superflex Redraft as wide receiver 28. I feel like Robinson is a value at wide receiver 28, period.
Yeah, that's kind of the screaming value for me is Robinson. I would not be surprised if he's up, finishes the season up as like wide receiver 15, 16. Like, I think Robinson has an absolute chance to smash because I still think defenses are going to focus in on Cooper Kupp. And as Matt mentioned, they did that in the Super Bowl, even though he still was able to make that amazing play to practically win them the Super Bowl. Like, having a guy like Allen Robinson across from him changes things. I'm with Dennis on the Odell thing. You know, he tore his ACL so late in the year. He's not signed. And there's still rumors that he may not come back to L.A. Like, he said that he wants to and that they want him to. But that doesn't mean that he will. I know all the reports are saying that he may not come back until November. And at that point, you're getting close to starting to push for your playoffs. Is that a guy you want to come in and possibly not get his first game till close to Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, to give him some time to get ready? Like,
I think if you're taking OBJ, especially in redraft, you're taking him in the dead last round as a stash that maybe you have a guy that come playoff time, you've had you know, you made the playoffs, but your team got destroyed right before you got to the playoffs, or you have a bunch of teams. There are buys the first round of the playoffs, and you just want somebody to be your upside home run.
See, but even then, I think, like, I'd be fine doing it in best ball. I don't know that I'd ever feel comfortable starting him in a start your lineup league, right? Where you go and pick, like, when's the game you're going to feel comfortable? Unless Odell goes off, like, 2 weeks in a row, and like, okay, I feel great, because I still could see that end up, you put him in your lineup, and then it's the Cooper Kupp A-Rob game back again, and those two guys go off, and Odell does nothing. So he's a big risk for me. I still love the player, still love the talent. He will turn 30 this year. November 5th is his birthday. So, I mean, he's still young-ish, but he's dealt with a lot of injuries, specifically to that knee. Like, that's a lot to come back from. He is an amazing talent, but I'm kind of with Max, especially in redraft. Like, you want to take a shot on, especially if you have like an IR designation, like grab him, throwing him on your IR and see what happens, especially if he ends up going to Green Bay. Like, I'd love that for him. I think that would really boost him and his fantasy potential, but we just don't know what's going to happen with him. I don't know what to think about Van Jefferson. I feel like he's priced appropriately based on what Dennis just said with his ADP, but he's got his moments. I feel like he's the best ball guy on this team. Like, he's the guy I want on a best ball roster because he's likely going to have a couple big games because it's not going to go to Cooper Kupp or A-Rob. But if it's one of those things where you're trying to start your lineup, I think I want all the A-Rob that I can get because I feel like he is the screaming value, as Dennis mentioned here, on their wide receiver roster. What are we thinking about Matt Stafford? He is currently coming off the board as QB 10. With an ADP of 21, 21.2. I'm sorry, 21.4. Last year, I believe, was QB 5, 6. Like, he was pretty high up there. So he's coming, he's coming up. QB 5. So he's come off the board a little bit later, somewhat of a value. Dennis, what are you doing with Matt Stafford in Superflex drafts? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code TPPN only at DraftKingsSportsbook.com. We've got a ton of Major League Baseball games going on right now. Golf, MMA, and more with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props. Everything and anything you need to get money. DraftKingsSportsbook.com is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet and get up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. Download the DraftKingsSportsbook app.com, and again, use promo code TPPN at DraftKingsSportsbook.com. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That is 1-800-426-2537. In Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Wyoming. 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and New Hampshire. 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP or 7867 in Louisiana. 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369 in New York or visit OPGR.org in Oregon. Call text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee or 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia. 21 and up or 18 and up in Wyoming. Physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, and New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
So Stafford is a guy I am targeting if I miss out on the dual threat quarterbacks or the elite. If I don't get a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson, maybe even a Jalen Hurts if I'm feeling froggy. Because we know Stafford is going to be a high-volume quarterback. He may lead the league in attempts this year. Like you said earlier, McVay loves to pass the ball, and he's got Cooper Kupp, he's got Allen Robinson, he's got Van Jefferson. So there's ample targets to go around and attempts to go around. I don't know. I'm not drafting him thinking I'm going to get QB five. I feel like top 10 quarterback is good. He's got the upside. He could throw 50 touchdown passes and 5,000 yards, which is going to put him near the top of the QB rankings. But he's not going to run, very little. He rarely even sneaks the ball. But he's an excellent quarterback. He's still, 34 years old, 35 years old. So he's still got some prime time left in him. And he's playing in a QB-friendly offense. At the end of the second round, in a super flex draft, that would probably have me going, so that's about, pick four. I probably, unless it went three quarterbacks and Jonathan Taylor fell to me at four, I'm probably taking a QB in the first round anyways. So that would be tough for me to take two QBs in the first and second rounds. You know, if I went another direction, if I decide to go a Jefferson or a Chase or a Kupp at pick four, then maybe I do go Matt Stafford in the second. You know, it's QB 10. It's good value. I don't know that would be my pick, though.
I mean, I think if you're talking about redraft, and I'm assuming all these ADPs are coming because everybody's playing super flex. Because if you're in a one quarterback league, you're probably not taking 10 quarterbacks in the first two rounds, unless your league has some kind of ridiculous scoring. But QB 10 to me was about dead on. I think when I was doing my redraft rankings, I had him at 9. I think that's about where he's going to be. He could end up popping a little bit higher. It depends on if some of those quarterbacks that have rushing upside end up getting injured and falling out, which is usually how that ends up shaking out a little bit of that top 10. I like Stafford. I think he's bankable. That's probably a dead on ADP. There's not a lot of value there.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I'm looking at my, so I started doing my quarterback redraft ranks. Right now I have him at 10, and then in my dynasty ranks, I have him at 12. So, like, I feel like that is the perfect spot for him. Like, that's just great value. Or not great value. Like, you're getting your value with him. I would not be surprised if he's a little bit better than QB10. But, I mean, looking at some of these guys I had ahead of him, right ahead of him is Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson. Like, I would rather take a bet on either one of those guys, even though Stafford has a cup and a A-Rob now there.
I mean, hopefully he has a cup. His wife hopes so.
Yeah, I would think so too. Yeah, you know, that he has Cooper. I'll go Cooper. How about that? And then he has himself a little Cooper, and he's got A-Rob. That, I mean, he just doesn't have that rushing upside that most, I think the only, looking at my ranks, the only two real pocket passers I have ahead of him are Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow. And I think both are fairly ranked ahead of him. Like, that's just a fair ranking to have. So he's the third in that category, and I do think it's a, exactly where he's going. So if you miss out on some of those top guys and you want to just, like, you know what, I want a guy who's going to be in a really good offense with a lot of really good weapons, who's probably going to produce again, I'm taking Stafford, and that's not a bad bet to make. The win total here for the Rams is set at 10.5. I feel like that's low, and I don't know why. I mean, I know the NFC West is going to be really good, but, like, when someone tells me you can win some money on putting, you know, the over at 10.5, I feel like the Rams have got to be a shoo-in for at least 11, right? Like, they're bringing back practically everybody. I think for me, it's an easy over, which then of course means it's not, but I think they're likely bound for the playoffs again. So I'm taking the over.
I'm also taking the over. I think they get around 12. I have them winning the NFC West again.
Yeah, I have the over on them as well. I just feel like they have enough defense to allow that high-powered offense to, you know, win shootouts, and the defense is good enough that, you know, if they need to be, if the offense is off, the defense is probably good for 1 to 2 games.
Yeah, agreed there. Yeah, I mean, when you bring back and Mike, I can't remember his name. Von Miller. Aaron Donald. Why the best defensive player in the league jumped out of my head? I don't know. But when you bring back Aaron Donald, I mean, all things.
They added Bobby Wagner too. Yeah, no. Yeah. So, you know, I like Von Miller as a pass rusher, but Wagner's probably a better all around linebacker. So now you have one of the best all-around defenders in Aaron Donald. You have one of the best all-around linebackers in Wagner. And you still have Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, that's the saying. Andy's so like one of the best quarterbacks.
So you've set really elite talent at all three levels.
Yeah. They're really good at finding ways to just get vets to come in at decent
salary
prices.
Cap doesn't exist in Los Angeles. If you play host to the NFL Network headquarters, they give you a pass.
They let you do what you want. That's a great job to have. You can get it. Next up, the Arizona Cardinals, who did finally make the playoffs under Cliff Kingsbury. They lost in the wild card round, finished with an 11-6 record. Their key departures, Chase Edmonds goes to the Dolphins. Christian Kirk signs that massive contract in Jacksonville. And Chandler Jones goes to the Raiders. They did trade during the draft for Marquise Hollywood Brown. They bring in Darrell Williams, and their key rookies were tight end Trey McBride and running back Keontae Ingram. Dennis, can James Conner do it again? Had that great season last year. For the most part, stayed healthy. I believe he only missed 2 games. Had a ton of touchdowns. Do you think that he does it again? And can Williams factor in this backfield? Or Keontae Ingram, who a lot of people seem to think is a sleeper in rookie drafts?
So this all comes down to whether or not believe Connor can avoid injury. It's I want to believe. I think if Connor avoids injury, he's definitely in for a good season. You know, he's shown that he fits that offense well. He can do everything that they want a running back to do. But he plays so hard, he gets nicked up, and it can be a challenge for him. I like Ingram. He's a guy I'm grabbing in drafts in the third round where I can get him. But I think this year, if something happens to Connor, Darrell Williams is the guy that you want. He's coming off the board at RB60 right now in redraft. And he's the handcuff you want. If I'm drafting James Connor, I'm going to come back late in the draft and I'm going to grab Darrell Williams, because I think if Connor does get injured, Williams is the guy. He's a solid two-way back. He's not explosive. He's not spectacular. He just kind of gets the job done. He's 4 yards and that's it. He's not going to break you off a 50-yarder or a 40-yarder, but he'll catch passes. He'll protect the quarterback. He'll get the tough yard. He's just not quite as good as Darrell Williams or James Conner. Is there a chance that Ingram can take over that job? Sure there is. But right now, I'm kind of out on Ingram in redraft. I'm going with Darrell Williams as the handcuff.
Yeah, all the Benjamin truthers, when Darrell Williams signed, they all cried, shed a single tear. I think it's going to be a combination of Connor and Williams, and I think they're actually both going to have value throughout the season. We saw Connor and James Edmonds both have value throughout the season. We saw Williams when he was with Kansas City. He actually made more of his fantasy impact last year as a receiver. He caught some fantastic deep balls and seam routes from Patrick Mahomes. I think that's got to be a little bit of appeal to Kyler Murray. And I would agree that I'm going to be honest, if you looked at all of the Arizona fantasy assets ADP, the only one where there's value to me is Darrell Williams, because I think he'll end up in that low-end RB3, high-end RB4 territory, and he's going as RB60 right now. RB16 for James Conner is just about right. I know he was RB5 last year. He was not very efficient as a rusher. He got a ton of touchdowns. He'll probably do some of that again, but I think it's very possible he ends up in the RB12 to 15 range, which means that's dead on. I think all the other kind of ADPs for their receiving elements, and even for Kyler Murray, are either on point or a touch higher than I would like. So Darrell Williams might be the best fantasy value right now going in there. And I think for sure, if something happens to Connor, which is now the realm of possibility, we saw Darrell Williams have some really great games filling in for CEH. He was that fill-in back that everybody always thought was Boston Scott was going to be for the Eagles. That's Darrell Williams actually delivered those like RB2, RB1 games.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if one of you guys was going to bring up Williams. You've both touched on him, so I'll keep it brief. I'm with you guys. His ADP, in my opinion, is an amazing value with it sitting at, where'd he go? RB60, as Matt just mentioned, in redraft with an ADP of 198.6. And even in Dynasty, RB70 with an ADP of 231.4. If you go back over the past couple of years, Kyler Murray has passed the ball to the running backs on average 80 times. Now, most of it has been split between two backs, but there was a year where David Johnson got 47 targets, and then Kenyon Drake 2 years ago had almost, or he had 70, and then Chase Edmonds had like 50. James Conner's not catching the ball. That was never really his game. That is, I think, going to be 100% Darrell Williams. I think a lot of people are hoping that's going to be Keontae Ingram because of what he did in college, but I think it's 100% going to be Darrell Williams. And as Matt and Dennis just mentioned, if James Conner gets hurt, it's probably going to be Darrell Williams stepping up into that main role. Now, he may not get – at that point, they split some of the rushing work, because I don't think he's a great runner. So maybe it's Eno Benjamin or Keontae Ingram getting that. But I still think the fantasy upside is going to, especially in PPR leagues, going to come from Darrell Williams. So he is a screaming value for me at the running back position. I do think Connor's going to be in for a good year. Again, as long as he stays healthy, it does seem like when they get down in the red zone, they don't want Kyler Murray to run it in as much as he did early on in his career. So I still think James Connor's going to be banging it in when they get down there. And that is kind of where most of his fantasy points came from last year. Was, I think he had, was it 20 touchdowns? He had like a ridiculous amount of touchdowns last year. So I don't know that he has 20 again, but I could easily see 12 to 15. So he's still going to have a good fantasy year. But I'm all in on Darrell Williams as well. Dennis, what are we expecting from this passing game, though? You got Hopkins, who is suspended for 6 games. They bring in Marquise Hollywood Brown, who played with him in college, and they were very explosive. A little bit of a different offense here, though. We saw how effective Zach Ertz was in the back half of that season once he really started to get going here with this offense. And they still have Rondale Moore. What are you doing with the pass? Or we'll start with the receivers. What are you doing with the receiving group, including Zach Ertz here for the Cardinals?
I think by and large, the two players that feel like a value to me are DeAndre Hopkins and Rondale Moore. Hopkins, in part, he's going at wide receiver 31 as pick 94.7 in redraft. And to me, when he comes back, he's gonna get his points per game. He's still gonna be that guy. He'll get plenty of opportunity. I don't think he's going to totally push Marquise Brown out of the picture. But at wide receiver 31, if I can stash him on my bench, I think that's great value. My real question is Rondale Moore. What's going to happen with him? You know, there was a lot of split when he came out. He does a lot of things. However, he's what, 5'7", 5'8". He's not big. And then he came in last year and he just didn't produce. Do we buy into Kingsbury's ability to use him, and how is he going to use him? I don't think we know that just yet. At wide receiver 56, pick 151, you know, this is a weird case because he's going at wide receiver 56 for redraft and for dynasty. So there are some believers kind of propping up his ADP. But on one hand, I want to believe and feel like, well, this is a value. Maybe I'll take a shot. But I'm so anti-small wide receiver, and he is small. I feel like I'd rather have Calvin Austin over Rondale Moore right now, especially because Austin is going to be so much cheaper. But at pick 151, it's like you're not picking starters then. So are you grabbing upside? And Moore could have upside. We saw Deebo Samuel have a good season with a negative yards before the catch a couple years ago. So it's possible that Moore gets opportunity and can be productive. For me, I'm looking at Marquise Brown as the guy. If he falls past, where's he going now? Wide receiver 20, pick 70. If I can get him, you know, wide receiver 24, 25, I'm probably in. But then I'm trying to trade him week 5 before Hopkins comes back. I want him to go off, have some big games. People buy into the college connection, because I do believe that he'll lose. I feel like he's a top 12 wide receiver the first 6 games, and outside the top 18 the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think you and I are pretty much on the exact same page. I've mentioned before, Arizona isn't as high volume of pass offense as we sometimes think they are. Even if they took a step forward, that would be Kyler Murray actually getting to and surpassing 4,000 yards, something he has not done in any of his 3 seasons. I still don't know if we're at the point in time where they've managed to overcome, you know, fall off a Cliff Kingsbury at the end of the season either. With Hopkins missing those first 6 games, I actually have him as wide receiver 31 in redraft right now, because I think he will be good when he comes back. But that's a huge chunk you're missing, and it's a huge guaranteed chunk of the fantasy regular season. You know, whereas D-Hop will be able to make up some games toward the end of the season and make up some of his numbers for the purposes of our competition, once you've gone through 6 weeks of the fantasy season, you're in an interesting position. And I'm with you too. I think Marquise Brown is going to be great at the beginning of the season and will take a little bit of a step back when Hopkins comes back. I have him at wide receiver 25, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was top 12 for the first 4 or 5 weeks. I also think Zach Ertz plays a big role, and that's why I'm leery of Rondale Moore. His ADP is not terrible. I don't think it's a particularly great value. He could end up exploding, but we saw them starting to use the tight end more and use backs more. I think Ertz is going to be heavily involved. That's why they reinvested. The ADP that I find particularly ambitious is tight end 27 for Trey McBride, because you have Ertz in front of him, barring some kind of an injury. Again, I think we have this perception with the air raid that Arizona is the super high volume, throwing it all the time. They have attempts, but Kyler Murray has never crossed, made it to 4,000 or over in any of his 3 years. So even if he passed for 4,200 yards, which isn't incredible by the modern NFL standards, that would be a big step up for him.
Yeah, I feel like we're all three going to be kind of all over the place on this offense because we don't know what to think. It's been so different. We joke about it on here. Everybody talks about it, like fall off the cliff Kingsbury. Like the first half of the season, Arizona's always been really good, and they seem to struggle in the second half. Ertz, I do think, is probably one of the safer bets here. Tight end 9. I think he can probably outproduce that with an ADP of 91.8. We saw even before, and now I cannot remember his name, but he was very good early on last year. I picked him up in one of my redraft leagues, and then like a week later, he unfortunately suffered that injury and tore his knee up. And I, for the life of me, cannot remember who that tight end was.
Max Williams.
Like he's a guy who was left for dead in Baltimore, right? Like we did not think he was ever going to be anything. Goes to Arizona, and they really want to use him. I'm intrigued to see what happens with Rondale Moore. I mean, I know he played in 14 games last year, but he had 400 receiving yards last year. It's a little bit better than I expected. I mean, 64 targets, 54 receptions. It's a little bit better than I was expecting. Maybe we propped him up too much because we know Cliff Kingsbury likes to implement college stuff into his offense. And we're like, oh, that's a perfect fit for Rondale. Didn't really work out. I don't know, as Dennis mentioned, that I'm really willing to take the bet on him at his ADP. I mean, wide receiver 56, you know, maybe he gets close to that, but I feel like that's a little bit high. I'm really worried about Hopkins. Now, granted, the value is there, right? Like, he's going off the board as wide receiver 31 in redraft and 39 in dynasty. I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes a little bit higher than that, but it's not a guarantee he comes back by week 7 or 8. Because you can't be in camp, you can't be at practice. Like, he knows the offense, but I would think he's still got to get some.
I thought when you were suspended, you could do training camp, and it's you have to leave the team once the regular season begins.
Right. So, I mean, obviously he can work out on his own, but I don't know that he'll be in a football shape come week 7. And I'm sure they're going to throw him out there. Don't get me wrong. He's one of the best wide receivers in the game. But I do think
he'll still be better than healthy AJ Green.
Yeah, I agree. But I think I don't know that he'll be like hyper targeted or like I think they'll get him some targets and he'll probably get a touchdown in that first game back. He's just so, I mean, Kyler Murray can throw it what feels like in two area codes of DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to find a way to come down with it. He's just an elite wide receiver. But I don't know that I'm expecting massive production from him early on, which leads me to why I'm really kind of in on Marquise Hollywood Brown. Now, wide receiver 20 is a high price to pay because you are betting on a lot here. But if you go back, he had a fairly decent season early on last year, right, with Lamar Jackson. And as much as I like Lamar, he has not been that good passing the ball deep. 37% completion percentage, which was number 20 in the NFL last year. Hollywood Brown, where was it? Unrealized air yards was 888, which was sixth in the NFL. Meaning he was top 10 in balls that he was open and could have caught the ball and wasn't able to because Lamar missing him. And then if you go look at Kyler Murray, 50% deep ball completion percentage, number one in the NFL. Kyler Murray knows how to get the ball deep. I am not going to say they've got this amazing connection just because they did it at Oklahoma, but he's going to be there all offseason. He's going to be there in the preseason. And we know Kyler Murray can extend plays and he can still launch that ball fairly easily deep off platform or outside the pocket. I think him and Hollywood Brown are the couple that the duo that I want. Like if I get Kyler Murray, I want to try and get Hopkins because he's going so late, but I have no issue grabbing Hollywood Brown as like my wide receiver 2 off the board because I do think he's in for a really good year. I think they traded for him for a reason. And when you look at just, I love Lamar Jackson. He is not the accurate passer that Kyler Murray is. Like, I think he could, we could finally see that breakout season we've hoping to see out of Marquise Hollywood Brown, especially in this offense. So I am in on Hollywood Brown. Again, you, there's not really a lot of downside baked into his ADP coming off the board at wide receiver 20. And we've seen that he can't go much, much later if he doesn't get that. And he's not a guy that's going to get peppered with targets. You can't expect him to get, you know, 8-9 targets a game. But I will say, just like I did DK Metcalf and Tyreek Hill at one point when we talked about different stuff with them over the offseason, Marquise Hollywood Brown is also a wide receiver who can make your fantasy day with just one play. All it takes is one deep ball for 67 yards, a touchdown. He's made your day. I think that's going to happen more often than not in Arizona. Matt.
So let me ask you this. How do you think that Lamar Jackson would fare if he was throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins instead of Marquise Brown?
But it's not just DeAndre Hopkins that's getting the deep balls. DeAndre Hopkins actually is not getting that many deep balls. That's why I'm in on Kyler Murray and Marquise Hollywood Brown. I can pull his stuff up. I looked at it, but he was not. It was Christian Kirk, which is why I also brought up Christian Kirk might actually be in for a decent season at Jacksonville. Let me pull up what Hopkins was really quick. But his typed in the wrong thing here. He was not the guy that they were necessarily going deep to all the time, because deep is like anything over, what is it? I think it's like 25 yards or something. Okay, I thought it was 25. But, yeah, I mean, he was not a guy that they were always targeting deep. It was mostly Christian Kirk. This is taking forever to load up. So while that's pulling up – oh, there we go. Where is his – So Hopkins' unrealized air yards over the past couple years was 303. So he was 71. And where did his – where did his A dot go? Let me see if I can find it. Oh, I cannot find this anywhere. Where am I looking at? Target, drops. Oh, wow. Only four drops? Jeez, please, that kid is good. Yards. That's not deep. So I that's why I'm all in on Hollywood Brown. And I do think both of them can succeed. Like, when Hopkins comes back, Hopkins is going to be hyper-targeted. I'm not going to pretend like Marquise Hollywood Brown is going to become the one in that offense, but I still think they're going to take their shots to him deep. And because Kyler Murray is so accurate going down the field, like his true completion percentage, which is when, like, if wide receivers drop the ball deep, is 73.2. Like, Kyler Murray is just a very accurate passer. He is very good. Lamar Jackson is not that. He never has been. Like, I like Lamar. I'm back in on him again this year. He's not that. He is not that accurate of a passer. Matt, what are we doing with Kyler Murray? He's been a high-end QB producer for us in fantasy. Some of that has mostly been due to the rushing and has pretty good rushing touchdown stats, but it does seem like over the past year and probably this year they're trying to pull back a little bit on that. Where are you at right now with Kyler Murray?
He's a low-end QB1 for me, and that's where I think his QB6 ADP feels too high. You know, if we're even going to put him up against the quarterback who we just talked about, I'd rather have Matthew Stafford. I'd rather take a chance on Jalen Hurts. I'd rather take a chance on Russell Wilson. I'd rather take Dak, Joe Burrow. I mean, I might even actually take a chance on Tom Brady. I think Kyler Murray probably, if he was going, you know, QB 10 to 12, I think that's right. We have this perception that he's, you know, just part of this high flying run and gun offense, and we haven't seen it yet. I need to see him take more of a step forward before I get too excited about him. There's a realistic possibility with Devontae Adams in town that Derek Carr ends up finishing above him and he ends up dropping to a high end QB 2.
Really quick, I misspoke. I was looking at the wrong thing. I was looking at his specific coverage. His actual average depth chart is 12.4 yards. Number 23 in the NFL was the Hopkins. So just to clarify, because someone will say that I was wrong, and I was.
And what was Brown's?
Oh, God. Now you make me go back and find Hollywood Brown's. I don't know. Let me find out. His is depth of target is 10.8, 52. But again, different offense. That's Baltimore's compared to what I think he's going to do in Arizona.
Well, and that was why I asked the question. If you were to put Nuke on Baltimore.
They play completely different roles. Like Hopkins is not the deep threat for anybody. He's a guy who's going to.
He's got the deeper A dot.
Right now, deep, better offense. I guarantee you it's not going to be that this year. Just watch what they do with Hollywood. That it's a different offense. I'd be comparing like Jarvis Landry's to, well, no, he's probably going to be better this year. Trying to think of, it's a completely different offense. In my opinion, you can't compare the two A dots. You have to compare what the quarterbacks do in that offense.
I feel you.
Your thoughts on Kyler Murray, though?
I've not been a Kyler Murray fan. I'm not a big fan, much like being team big wide receiver. I'm not a huge fan of 5'10" quarterbacks. I think Murray, a lot of his passing ability is predicated on his mobility. And we saw last year when he gets dinged up in the lower body and loses his mobility, it really affects his passing game. And they're not a great, you know, they're not a high volume passing offense to begin with. So I feel like there's going to be some splash plays, some big plays. I agree with you. Marquise Brown is going to go deep a lot. I'm just not as sold as you are that he's going to be able to convert them just because he runs more deep passes. I feel like Nuke gets his fair share of deep passes, and he has a much stronger ability to bring the ball in. And for the most part, when you look at a statistic that says, you know, completion percentage, it's not telling you how accurate the ball is. I'm sure you've got an advanced stat that can tell me how much more accurate Kyler's throws are versus Lamar's throws there somewhere. But a catch is a catch. And so whether it's, you know, within the frame of the body or whether the wide receiver has to reach out for it and still come down with it, I feel like that's what Nuke does. Nuke catches what's thrown near him. And I feel like Hollywood Brown doesn't bring a lot of those types of throws in. I like Kyler. I don't like him at QB6. I especially don't like him at QB5 for Dynasty. I don't have any shares of Kyler Murray. I did trade for one share last year in a 16-team super flex league because I was trying. I was like, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to make a run for it. And I ended up towards the end of the season when Kyler got injured and wasn't being productive. I traded him away for a package that brought me back Derek Carr. I'm very happy with that. I have Carr and Tom Brady as my quarterbacks in that league.
Yeah, I have Kyler dropped a little bit more. I have him down at QB7. That's more because I had guys like Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow jump him. I also have currently Deshaun Watson up there just because we don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, once we get some kind of resolution with what's going on with him, he'll probably drop because I do expect him to miss games. But it was more of just I have players I think that have jumped him necessarily than him not playing well. So looking at their efficiency as a passer and deep ball passer, he surpasses Lamar in practically everything. Accuracy, 7.8. He's number 10. He's number one in true completion percentage at 76.4. Number one in deep ball completion percentage at 50%. Number eight in pressure at 51.4. And number four in a clean pocket with 74.5%. He's number three as a true passer with 106.9 rating. Number seven with a 56.8 QBR. And then actually the only thing they're tied in is drops. They both have had 24 by their wide receivers over the past couple years. Ties them at 17. And matter of fact, just pointing out the fact that Hopkins doesn't get the separation that Marquise Hollywood Brown had, where he actually does a lot, or his team does not do better for him than Lamar's does. Receivers' target separation is 1.57 yards, which is 66th in all of the quarterback rankings here. Four quarterbacks, Lamar, meaning how well the wide receivers are able to create separation before they get the pass, is 1.81, which doesn't sound like a lot more. That's 21 in the NFL. So he's a high end with his wide receivers creating separation, which I would argue is probably Hollywood Brown. And I would imagine they factor Mark Andrews into this stuff. I don't know that for a fact, who obviously is also very good at creating separation. But as a true passer, Lamar, 17th compared to Kyler Murray's 1. QBR, 17th compared to Kyler Murray's 1. Where is it? Drops, as I mentioned, they're both 17. Accuracy rating, 7.7, 14 compared to Kyler Murray's 4. True completion percentage, 70.3, 20 compared to Kyler Murray's 1. Deep ball completion percentage, 37% compared to Kyler Murray's 1. Pocket percentage, 68.9, 22 compared to Kyler Murray's 4. Again, I'm not trying to say Lamar Jackson's a bad player, but he is not the passer that Kyler Murray is. He's just not. And I don't think that that's going to change at all this year. I actually think, again, I think Hollywood Brown going to Arizona is going to help Kyler Murray because it gives him, in my opinion, a better deep threat than what Christian Kirk was. Because I think Christian Kirk was miscast at that. If you've watched us for a couple years, you know when he came out, Dennis and I both said he fits better in the slot. And he got passed over that because they had a legend Hall of Famer in Larry Fitzgerald there. I think Kirk was miscast as that deep threat. We saw him drop balls, which I think also got him benched. We're going to see a better deep threat in that in Hollywood Brown. The over-under here for the Arizona Cardinals is at 8.5, and I really don't know what to do with that. I feel like I should take the over because I think this offense is going to be better. But honestly, I was probably one of Kingsbury's more ardent defenders, not just on this podcast, but in the fantasy space. He has not done anything to deserve that, though. He's been good, but really does not seem to be able to keep this team together. I'm going to take the slight over. I think they could get possibly to 10, but I do feel like 8.5 is a very fair number. What are you guys doing with their win total?
I think they're staring at an 8-9 season and a new head coach next year.
So I also think they're staring at an 8-9 season, so I'm taking the slight under. The thing is, they just did a new 5-year contract with Kingsbury, so I think they've pinned them. It's like they've made a long-term commitment to being the Jeff Fisher of the NFC West. I think Kingsbury will get at least a couple more years after this, no matter how they do, because they've gone down that road. His extension this offseason was one of the more shocking to me, just because going back to 2014 in college, his teams have faded down the stretch hardcore. That has been a huge problem for his NFL team, and I think it continues to be until they can figure out how to solve that, and I've seen no evidence that they even know how to solve it.
Well, I mean, I'll go a step further on the college side here. Not only did his teams falter down the back half, they faltered, period. He had a below 500 he had a losing record in college.
He must have, like, pictures of Steve Keim. Maybe because he let him borrow that adult film mansion that he lives in over one weekend. I don't know. But the fact that they not only re-upped him, but re-upped him for 5 years and took care of that before they went out and did Kyler Murray was fascinating to me, because now I would expect Murray's going to stay there. We may never see Kyler Murray with a different coach.
I honestly think, but what you just said is why they did it, is because of Kyler Murray. They clearly want him to be there. A lot of the rumors were they were trying to get him extended, but he was doing it as like a stand with Cliff thing, right? Like, those two are going to be paired together. And I agree. I think they're going to be there for probably 2 or 3 more years. And if this continues to happen, maybe finally we see them move on from him. But I think it's because of Kyler Murray that all this stuff has been going on. Cause that first regime clearly believed in Josh Rosen. And then as soon as they brought Cliff in, and we heard all the narratives that offseason that, oh, well, it's going to be Kyler Murray, because none of us believe that. There's no way you take a QB top 10 and then you take a QB at 1. And then it happened, and they completely shifted the quarterback landscape as well. So,
which may not have been a bad decision.
No, it wasn't a bad bet, but I think betting on trying to keep the coach with the QB that both want each other, like, we've seen QBs want to keep their coaches before, and I'm not saying that whoever wanted Jeff Fisher, I don't even remember who the quarterback was, it Jared Cook? Yeah, Jared Goff, I'm sorry. Not saying that Jared Goff wanted to lose Jeff Fisher, but, like, Sean McVay was the best thing that probably happened to Jared Goff. We don't know that someone else couldn't come in and get the best out of Kyler Murray. Sometimes it's best to just move on and see what you can do. But, you know, I understand they want to extend Kyler Murray. So that will do it for us today. We will be back on Friday with
49ers and Seahawks.
Seahawks. I can't remember either one of them there for a second. Back with the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. Everybody have a safe and happy 4th of July, and we will talk to you guys again on Friday.
Prepare for glory!
Come on up, you got your popcorn ready. You got your popcorn ready.
I came out the womb, I was ready.
And he's hit the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown.
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Throw it up above his head. They can't jump with me. Golly!
Only tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Who can make a play? I can. Who can make a play?